Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk. I just fed the cats, so they should be well-behaved. We're out of cat food, so they got a can of tuna, and boy, were they happy. Cat food's getting delivered on Monday. They're not going to be without food for long, but it definitely was, oh, wow, we're getting a whole can of tuna fish. Normally, they just get the water off the top of it. So they're happy. Hopefully, you're happy. And you're starting to feel the shift in the energy. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. We're having a big change. Saturn is in a whole new section of the sky, so he's inviting us to make commitments. A lot of people are feeling that they're inspired to go, ready to take off, ready to fly, and we do have an interesting week ahead of us. The thing we do need to watch a little bit is Mars is approaching his conjunction with Pluto. And I know in my case, my Mars is 7, so I'm about to have my Mars return. And, of course, when Mars comes up to Pluto, that is a war aspect. That actually happens next Monday, the 10th, so we're building to it all week long. So that's the stressful aspect in the week ahead. Now, Mars in Capricorn is exalted. However, he is also out of bounds, meaning that he's not always following the rules. And I know in my case, I've kind of looked at a couple of conversations I need to have, and I think, let me have those after my Mars return. Let me actually have those after Mars gets past Pluto, because Mars-Pluto tends to be a very firm decision and usually permanent. So watch for the permanent decisions that you're going to want to make this week. And Mars in Capricorn answering to Saturn in Scorpio in a new section of the zodiac. Saturn is now past his degree of station that he'd stationed on the beginning of March, March 2nd, 3rd, 2430, or 2330. He's now at 2404 tonight, right now as we do the show. And he's in a new patch of sky until December 8th. So the universe is going to be pushing on us to make firm commitments to our future. And also, for those of you who have commitment issues, myself included, the stuff you don't want to commit to, say, let's talk about it after December 8th. So I had one of my favorite clients came the other day, and she got a call from an ex. And so she said, well, I told her to call me after January 1st. And I said, well, interesting. Why'd you pick January 1st? She goes, well, it's a new year, And I kind of laughed, and I thought, she's feeling the energy. She's not sure she wants to commit. She wants to be in a position to negotiate. But she's, not no, but not a firm yes. If it was a firm yes, she'd be saying, yes, I want to date you now. Call me. So it doesn't mean you're stuck with what you sign up for between now and December 8th forever, but it's just easier to negotiate the commitment if you sign up after December 8th. However, if you just sign up between now and December 8th, sign up for the stuff you know you want. You want a healthy lifestyle. You want to exercise more. You want a new kitten or a bigger cat. You want a new job because you hate your job. You want a new house because it's time to leave. The stuff you know you truly want, the universe is really cooperating. Saturn is going to go between 2330 and 28 and change stuff. If you have planets at that degree, those planets are getting a one shot for the next 30 years from Saturn and Scorpio. They're going to get shots from other guys. But from Saturn and Scorpio, which is the planet of commitment, now, remember, planets in signs always take us back to our natal Saturn, wherever he is by placement, and back to our natal Saturn, wherever whatever house he rules. So Saturn rules the Capricorn and the Aquarius houses in your rule. We do traditional rulers here. We also do modern, but look at the Aquarius and the Capricorn house. And then remember, if it's an Aquarius on a house cusp, part of the Aquarius is in the house before it. So let's say you're an Aquarius rising. That means Saturn's ruling part of your 12th as well as your 1st, right? Or if he's on your 2nd house, Saturn's on your 2nd house, Capricorn ruling your 2nd, part of your 1st house and your 2nd house. So remember to go into the house before. But wherever your natal Saturn is, by sign and house placement, he always goes back and redefines, as different transits happen, what's going on in the houses he rules, the Capricorn houses and the Aquarius houses. So right now, he's looking to make commitments. He's in the sign of commitment. He's in the sign of psychological issues. So a lot of us are really digging up some very big psychological issues. And our job when those dig up is for us to go, oh, wow, big psychological issue. How do I want to work with it? Key with Saturn, no running away. You got to do your Saturn. And if you do him, he's actually a really good guy. If you don't do him, you'll find you have anxiety. You'll find you have fear. You'll find you have depression. You'll find you have, like, dread, just sadness. Not doing your Saturn, sad Saturn. Doing your Saturn, you're doing the work that you signed up for in this lifetime. So Saturn in Scorpio always asks us to make a commitment to our Saturn, wherever he is natally. He wants us to commit. He wants us to say, this is the plan. This is where I'm going. Now, what's going to happen in December, he's going to go into Sagittarius. And then we're going to have a lot of fire in the sky. So we're going to be cooking with the fires all to the beginning part, certainly, of 2-15. But while he's still in Scorpio, we are really working on our last little dregs of psychological fear about commitment. And we know we have a path, we know we're supposed to do stuff, and we know we're working on it. And then there's the stuff we just don't like to do. You know, Scorpio, Saturn, wherever he is, has things we love to do and we do naturally, and he also has things that we're really afraid of. That's why he is our work in this lifetime. He's where we're supposed to work with the parts of our chart that we're not so comfortable with, that we're not so happy with, that we know we have, but we kind of always go, ooh. But he's our job, so we have to do our job. And so where he is in Scorpio now, he's asking you to do the job of commitment. Now, you may say, you know what, I don't want to be in the commitments I'm in. I'm totally cool with that. I want to commit to something else. Totally cool with that too, long as you're not running away. You have to turn to the person you don't want to commit to anymore, and you have to go, well, changed my mind, got to go. And I'm totally cool with that, because Saturn will be cool with that, because he's like, well, you've worked hard for since November. You've been working hard on figuring out if this commitment's going to last or not. And now that I'm at 2330, past 2330 degrees and minutes, I'm ready for a new commitment. What do you want to commit to next? Because this is the thing you're going to be working on. You're going to be envisioning. You're going to be burning with passion to do. What are you burning with passion to do? Now, of course, as Mars approaches Pluto this next week, we're going to have the tensions build and build. He joins with Pluto on November 10th. And that starts a new 2-year cycle with him and Pluto creating. And the reason we're caring about Pluto, Saturn's in Pluto's sign, right? He's in Scorpio, which is Pluto's sign. And Saturn and Pluto are in mutual reception. Pluto's in Saturn's sign. So essentially, we're having a Mars return to Mars in Pluto. Mars is in Capricorn, Saturn's sign. Saturn's in Scorpio, Mars's sign. Mutual reception. Remember, mutual reception is the planets can change closing. They're all in the same size. So this weekend I read at a Halloween party, and I was reading, and this very cute young lady comes in, and she's dressed as a guy. And the concept of the party was dancing in the garden of good and evil, or picking between good and evil. And everybody in the room had to pick, they had to come as good or evil. So I read Medusa, I read, a couple Draculas, I read a panda bear. And so this woman comes in and I'm like, so who are you? She goes, I'm the boss. She's Fernando, the boss. I'm like, you're Fernando. Oh, okay. So she dressed up as her boss and looked like him, put on makeup and hair and all that. And then he'd taken his business cards. And then, of course, when everybody said, are you good or evil? She went, it depends. Which was a totally diplomatic answer, but it also describes the energy. It depends. It depends. Uranus is retrograde. And so the part of us that wants to run away and join the circus is going to be talking to Pluto, who they're going to meet each other pretty soon in December. So they're getting close. So the Mars-Pluto conjunction also is in a square to Uranus. So it depends. What do you want? And then, of course, Venus is sextile to Pluto, asking you about those triangles. And, of course, triangles are incredibly creative. And she also is going to have an aspect from Mars this week. Or actually, she had an aspect. So, but the real key is Mars joining Pluto. So you're going to feel the energy. Now, New York, this is a real pain in the ass aspect because we are a Capricorn city. So this is all the taxi drivers honking and yelling and people whacking the cab when you're in it because your driver tries to drive and cross the crossroads and the pedestrians are whacking. So it's Mars. Pluto also is an angry energy. Now, Mars is exalted in Capricorn, so often he is strategic in this. It's a good placement and relatively of the Mars placements to have because he is strategic. He is long thinking. He's looking at the big picture. But truth be told, if you have to have a delicate conversation with someone about something or you're dealing with deep emotional issues, probably better to wait until the conjunction next week, the 10th. All right. Remember, we're still in eclipse period. So a lot of the eclipse energy plays out this week as we go to the full moon in Taurus at 14 degrees Taurus. Now, 14 degrees Taurus is right on, 1426 is on the degree of fame or notoriety. So this is also, you know, whatever happens this week is going to be very big in the news. I fed you already. What are you yelling at me for? Oh, come here. That's Remo. I guess you didn't get enough tuna fish. I know. I put it down. I'm sorry. Max ate it on you. So our job with this aspect is to really work and understand that Mars-Pluto conjunctions can be very big. If you have a Mars-Pluto aspect in your chart, there's a big week for you, okay, because you're going to have a natal excitation, even if it's sextile. If you don't have one, great. You're just going to experience what everybody with Mars-Pluto aspects feels like all the time, and you're going to understand that energy, which is very potent, a very strong energy. It's also really good energy to push forward on things with and to give a little weave-ho to the direction you want to head as we go forward. So the moon is in Aries. It's void in the morning on November 3rd. It goes into Aries on at 1:53 in the afternoon, and it's in Aries on Monday afternoon, Tuesday. It goes void at 8:25 on Wednesday, and it's void all day Wednesday. So Monday afternoon, Tuesday, and Wednesday are void opposite to Mercury. Mars opposite, Moon opposite Mercury is a no. You're going to get no, 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 no. Okay, that's the big word, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, of course, it's void on the 5th, so it's no with nothing will come of it. If they say yes, nothing will come of it either. Moon goes into Taurus on the 5th at 4:33 p.m. Wednesday night. It's a full moon, bright and early, at 5:30, actually not bright and early, well, bright and early for some of us, 5:23 in the afternoon on Thursday the 6th. And then it goes void at 11:17 in the morning on Friday. Moon opposite Saturn. Again, a no. No, 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 no. Moon in Taurus opposite Saturn. Then it goes into Gemini, 8:45 at night. Moon is void all Friday afternoon into early evening. Goes into Gemini at 8:45 on the 7th. It's in Gemini on the 8th, Saturday. And it goes void at 11:22 in the afternoon, in the morning, on Sunday. That's a yes, because it goes void sextile to Jupiter. And then it's void on Sunday afternoon. And then it enters Cancer bright and early on Monday the 10th. And that has a void to a trine to Saturn. So this is a week of no. First, moon opposite Mercury. Then moon opposite Saturn. The weekend has yes. Friday night has yes after 9 o'clock and after 8:45. But the week, no, 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 no. Okay? So it's very frustrating. And, of course, Mars is building up for a conjunction to Pluto, ending a two-year cycle and starting a new two-year cycle. But in the ending parts, it's all about no, all about letting go, all about releasing. And I hope you can't hear the cat howling in the background. He has been fed. Remo, come here. Come here, I'll pet you. The noise of cat. I swear to God, they're quiet all afternoon, and then all hell breaks loose when I start this radio show. I don't know what it is about Black Talk Radio, but Remo howls. All right, so that's the moon. So moon is your emotional nature. We're going towards a Taurus moon with an opposition to Saturn. So what I really desire, Taurus moon's very possessive, opposing Saturn, not going to get it, sorry. And, of course, it relates to food. So a couple weeks ago, we were out at a weekend workshop in Sag Harbor that started with the moon opposite Saturn, moon and Taurus. So I looked at that and I went, Well, I don't know that I would have picked a workshop that day. Moon opposite Saturn, we're going to have trouble with food or trouble with moon issues all weekend. So we went to the restaurant Saturday night, and we waited 2.5 hours, honest to God, 2.5 hours for our food. It was excellent food when it finally arrived, but it was 2.5 hours. And then we, it was just a moon Taurus kind of opposition weekend. So we had a lot of moon Taurus stories, a lot of moon opposition stories, and the energy was very much separative. You know, it was kind of like, okay, boom. And understanding moon Saturn, you know, what I want, desire, moon and Taurus, Saturn not going to get, just not happening. And so whether it, and of course, it, we have it every now and then, you know, it's part of the deal of the heavens. But this week with moon opposite Mercury, Mercury, of course, is still in its retrograde shadow, and moon opposite Saturn, just kind of prepare for no's. And, you know, don't take it personally. Just go, well, that's not happening. Or if you want to do no's, you want to say, no, I no longer want to be with you, or no, I don't want to do this anymore, great week to end relationships on. You know, in other words, use the heavens productively. No, I never want to eat flour again. Great week to give it up. No, it's a no week. And as we go towards the end of the eclipse season with that full moon in Taurus, the full moon in Taurus ends the season, and it says to us back to the new moon that began in May of 2013. Come here, Mimo. The new moon that began in 2013. He comes over, he lets me pet him once and twice, and then he runs off and howls in the background. It's going to be a whole week of this. And yes, I know, you're a little crabby boy. Come here. So we watch that moon opposition, and we go, okay, it's about me not having my emotional needs met. So let me go do something else. The universe not cooperating in a yes. What do I want to get rid of? What do I want to let go of? Great time to look at the clothes and go, no, 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 throw them all away. Great time to look at the papers and the books and go, no, 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 throw them all away. Great time to release, let go of, even though, you know, you might be going, but it's a growing moon, Anne. I'm like, it's growing, but it's growing towards releasing. It's going and saying, what can we let go of? Where do we need to go with this? So that's part of the energy. That Mars building to Pluto's conjunction, you're going to feel it. It's going to be a buildup in tension, buildup in anger. Watch if you're annoyed. If you have early Mars in Cap like I do, you know, watch where that Mars return is. You know, I was looking at mine last week, and I'm like, okay, I need to be a little careful with this Mars in Cap energy joined to Pluto. My assistant has Mars in Cap. Hers is 12, which is just past the Pluto. So she has the separation starting. I've got the Mars-Pluto conjunction essentially for the next 2 years. I don't even want to think what that means. But at any rate, Sun sextiles Pluto on Monday, which is a lovely aspect for power. Sun in Scorpio, sextiling Pluto in Cap. So it's a lot about creative. It's a lot about, yes, it is a closing sextile because it is at the back end. Sun's going to come and join Pluto in January. So this is a lot about releasing into the world things you've completed. That's on Monday. Tuesday, we have the moon occulting Uranus. The moon and Uranus are on the same degree, moon and Aries. So that makes for a powerful, explosive energy around lunchtime on Tuesday. We can anticipate Tuesday to have quite a bit of activity because the moon is square Mars, square Pluto, and joined to Uranus. So we can anticipate quite a volatility. Of course, that is election day. So vote early, vote often, and try and get out there before noon, because at noon all hell's going to break loose because moon joins Uranus. That's East Coast time. Daylight savings time is over, Eastern Standard. So just kind of know that Tuesday is pretty volatile, and it is a moon in Aries, and so we can expect some contesting. And moon opposite Mercury, unexpected results. There is a full moon that we have at 15 Taurus, which we've talked about. Thursday is a really busy day, moon in Taurus, and it's very productive. It trines Mars, it trines Pluto, it opposes the Sun, it opposes Venus, and it squares Jupiter for a closing opposition to Saturn. So the Taurus moon is very active, but not particularly pleasant, all right? So we're going to be able to get a lot of stuff done, even though it's separative. So again, a great day to let go of things, to release things, to say, okay, I'm ready to let that go and get rid of it and let it move on to other places. once we get into the Gemini moon over the weekend, remember, moon is void all afternoon Friday, so just take the day off. You're not in the mood to work anyway because this has been a hard week. Moon goes into Scorpio on the 8th, which means it starts to leave its shadow. So the Mercury retrograde officially finishes on Saturday because we've left our shadow in our station degree. Mercury goes into shadow or gets into Scorpio, and then it re-triggers the eclipse degree from the solar eclipse on the 23rd, that Thursday, and it re-triggers the Venus star point that happened on Saturday. Remember, we talked about Venus and the Sun and the Moon and the nodes and Pallas Athena all clumped together at 0-1 of Scorpio. And Mercury had stationed there a couple weeks. Now he's coming back. So there'll be a little follow-up message from the eclipses. And at that point, and from the retrograde station. Now, a lot of people have been having ex-lovers return on this eclipse, saying, I made a mistake. I realize I love you. Or, you know, finding out things. Oh, you've been cheating on me all along, have you? I thought we were going to talk about that. Oh, well, yeah, I can't do that. And so the eclipses have been very big in relationship negotiations. So, again, you know, this is a crappy week to negotiate relationships because people are going to say, no, I don't want to do that. Post it, move it off to next week after the 10th because you're going to have better outcome then. If you truly want to end the relationship, do it now. Do it this week because it'll be done. If you're not 100% sure, wait till next week. Okay. And if you're really not 100% sure, wait until December 8th. Moon in Gemini on this Saturday and Sunday, very nice aspect. Sunday's lovely because it's got a lovely square to Jupiter and it's got a lovely sextile to the Moon. Venus squares Jupiter on the 9th, and so we feel it, we feel it. So it's a nice energy for connection and relationships on the 8th and the 9th. So it's very good for that. We also have a couple other things we just want to talk about quickly. But basically, week of no, closing aspects harsh, weekend is fabulous. Schedule everything for Saturday and Sunday, Sunday before 11:30, because it's void in the afternoon. we look at the Sun. We talked about the Sun sextile Pluto on Monday, but it also has a trine to Chiron, and that happens on Wednesday. So the Sun trine in Chiron gives us an opportunity to go back into our wounds and kind of rework with them in a new level. Chiron's been in Pisces for a while, and we haven't talked about him in a bit, but he's at 13. And when he gets into 13, he's moved out of the Pisces decan, and he's in the Cancer decan. Like I said, we haven't talked about him in a while, and I was thinking about him the other day. When he's in Cancer, he really is about the wounds from the family rather than the wounds from the collective. So when the Sun comes to trine him, we have an opportunity to heal our family wounds. And, of course, that's a lot of what Saturn in Scorpio is about. Our psychological wounds that we get from our family of origin are the 8th house wounds, the Scorpio wounds, because they're the ones that our family parents give us or our culture gives us that we absorb the lessons of our culture, and we become ashamed of who we are. And so when Saturn goes through Scorpio, he says, throw off the shame. Understand where the shame comes from. Understand that all the relationships that you're in relationship with are there to teach you something. So go back and reframe the stories that have been going on. What have the relationships you've been in this last couple years taught you about your own understanding of where you feel ashamed? Because Saturn is about shame and humiliation and where we feel less than. And in Scorpio, he says, hey, you're going to pull in people that are going to push your buttons. Their job is to sit on your shame points and show them to you for you to look at and go, wow, that's a shame point, isn't it? Yeah. And thanks for highlighting that for me because I see it, right? So he also wants to teach us new things. And to say, where do you want to spend time? Now, I have a Venus-Saturn conjunction, so I have trouble. Even though I feel something, I sometimes have trouble acting on what I want. So I had a friend come in town this week, and we were hanging out, and she took me to a play, right? So, and I have known her since 1968 when we were in high school, a long time, and met her on the bus to Mercy. she's in Aries with a Scorpio moon. She's like the cat that was howling in the back room. And she is a former theater person. She did a lot of work in the theater. So we went to see a play, and it was bad. And it was in previews, to give it credit. It might get better, but it was really bad. And, of course, in a dark room, I fall asleep. So I dozed a couple times in it, as I'm prone to do these days. And she, at intermission, goes, "Do you want to leave?" I'm like, "Leave?" She's like, "Leave." I'm like, "Leave? Like go home?" And she's like, "Yeah." She goes, "Ortley," which is what she calls me, "life is too short for bad theater." And I went, "Oh, really?" She goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "All right," you know, she talks to me like that. "Yeah." I'm like, "Well, all right. Life is too short for bad theater." I said, "Well, why don't we wait, you know, for because there were two intermissions in this thing. Why don't we wait till the second intermission and see if it gets any better?" Of course, I slept through part of the second act, too. And we get to the second intermission. He goes, "You ready to go? Yeah." And I'm like, "Oh, you know," I said, "you know, I'm like 60 years old. I have never, ever left a play. I've never walked out on a play." She goes, "Time for a new learning experience." And I'm like, "Okay." And I'm like, "Well, it's intermission. We can pretend like we're going out to get a cigarette or something, right?" So we get out. She goes, "Now look around at all the other people that are leaving the theater with us." And I looked. There were a lot of people leaving the theater. So I'm like, "Okay." So, like, and, you know, and I really verbed with this for a few days. Like, I'd walked out on something, and I'd never done anything like that before in my entire life. I always feel like you should stay and applaud at the end, even, you know, because they're trying hard. She's like, "You've never left anything?" I said, "No, I never in my entire 60 years of life, I've never walked out on anything." She's like, "Wow." She's, "I've walked out on a lot of stuff." She's in Aries with a Scorpio moon. Of course, she's walked out on a lot of stuff. I stay. So a learning experience had, and that's what this is all about. The learning experience that you're going to have, reframe the story. Life is too short for bad theater. Okay, I can say that, and I can believe that, and I can work with that, and I can say life is too short for bad relationships. Life is too short for bad books. Life is too short for bad magazine subscriptions, you know? I can get like a whole pile of stuff with this new thing I learned. That's what this energy is about. The new thing you learn that lets you let go of something that you used to hang on to. Now, I've had a few people write me, "I realized life is too short. That's not who I am anymore." Same idea. When you have that realization this week, especially around November 4th when Mercury connects with the nodes of destiny and Saturn and the Sun aspects Chiron and in conjunct Uranus, and you go, "You know what? Life's too short for this. I'm out of here." Or, "I think I'm going to change my relationship to this story." You can do it that way too. You know, maybe you have to stay in relationship. They're your kid. They're your mother. You can't really get rid of them. But you can change how you react. Life's too short. I'm not doing it. Saturn in Scorpio reminds us of our mortality, reminds us of, well, I could have spent another couple hours in that theater, another hour probably, but life's too short, right? So our job this week, as we have these, is to understand, where do we want to spend our time? Venus is also aspecting the nodes of destiny. She's aspecting the south node, and she's in Scorpio. So she's also going to be piping up, is this really where you want to spend your time? And if the answer is no, just kind of walk away. It's a great week to walk away. Or to say on the 8th, when Venus parallels Saturn, you know, I think I'm going to change our relationship and make it something different. There is a bit of tension with Mars's semi-square to Saturn as he approaches his conjunction to Pluto. So a lot of this is adjusting and changing. It's okay. Uranus can kick you into a little bit of an anxiety attack over the weekend. So if you get anxiety, know that fear and anxiety go together. And a lot of times anticipation of something new can masquerade as fear. So just say to that anxiety, I guess you're really excited about the changes we're doing. And that's basically the week ahead. It'll be an interesting week. It is a week of no. It is a week of relationships being renegotiated or adjusted. Pluto is in conjunct Juno, the planet of relationships and partnerships. And Ceres is aspecting the nodes. So you may want to say to someone, you know, I love nurturing you and you're really important to me, but I can't nurture you the way I used to. So don't be afraid to make changes in a positive direction. And that is it. The British lady has said the show is over. So I wish you all a great week of November 11th, 2014. And remember that Mars-Pluto conjunction is going to build up a lot of tension. All those Scorpio planets and all those Aries planets answer to the Mars. So we want to kind of know that, you know, there's a lot of... At the same time, next week on the 10th at 6:30 at night, 6:03 at night on the 10th, we're starting a new Mars-Pluto cycle, which is incredibly creative. But it might be a lot of releasing this week. Take care, have a good day, and talk to you next week. Bye.